Today, we're going to be in Acts. We're in Acts chapter 6, starting in verse 8. We're going to start to look at this man named Stephen. We're going to look at him in two parts. We're going to start today, and then we're going to break for Christmas, and then we're going to come back and finish his life story. Acts 6, verse 8. Have you ever witnessed something important in your life, but you didn't really know at the time it was important? Moments in your life that happened, maybe you met your spouse and it wasn't years later until you married them. Maybe you reconnected after you first met. Maybe you hired in somewhere with no intentions of it being your career. You just needed a job and now you have retired from that place, or you've got many, many years of service. You didn't know that moment was going to be your life's career. Maybe it was when you invested in some unknown company in the 70s. Microsoft, Apple. Anybody do that? Wish you would have done that? It could be moments in your life that you saw and you knew you needed to do something and didn't. Or you saw and you knew you needed to do something and you did. You stood up or you stood aside. Many of these moments in our lives as well. The point is that there are moments in our lives that can prove to be important down the road. We're going to look at a man named Stephen over the next few weeks, and this moment in his life is going to prove to be important for everyone as the gospel spreads because of his life lived. And we're going to see this in two parts this morning, and we're going to see the life of Stephen in two parts overall. But two parts this morning, Stephen walked like Jesus, and Stephen was treated like Jesus. Acts 6, starting in verse 8. Let's stand together. Verse 8. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians and those from Cilicia and Asia rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit which he was speaking. Then they secretly instigated men who said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up people and the elders and the scribes. And they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you that we can celebrate, we can gather as your people. Father, we thank you for your holy word. Help us lean in it today and have our lives changed by it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we're going to take a look at this man called Stephen in two parts this morning. We're going to see how he is treated, and then we're going to come back after Christmas and see his speech and his stoning. It is this stoning that disperses the church. This means this stoning is what ultimately drives the gospel out of Jerusalem and into the surrounding areas. So we're going to have Stephen this week and then Christmas, and then after Christmas, we're going to finish up with Stephen and move into the second part of Acts. Today, let's begin by seeing how Stephen is carrying himself here. Stephen walked like Jesus. What do we mean by this when we say this? Stephen walked like Jesus. It's not that he has somehow replaced Jesus. That's not it. That was not it when Peter was doing it. It's not it for Stephen here. Jesus always was and always will be. What we're going to see in our text is that Stephen is becoming more and more like Jesus. That's what sanctification is. It's this long word that really means slowly growing in your faith. That's what it means. Moving further from who you were and closer to what your Savior wants you to be. This is what Hebrews means when it says Jesus suffered so we could be sanctified by His blood. This is what Jesus meant when He prayed to His Father to sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Eventually, sanctification, if real, if Spirit-filled, sanctification ends in glorification, which is another big word, which means heaven for eternity. That's what glorified means. Until then, we'll never be perfect on this earth. And till then, we'll always be sinners on this earth. But moving closer to the Christian we're called to be. How do we see this in Stephen? Well, we started this chapter last week, and the descriptor used in that passage should be our beginning point here. Stephen was chosen as one of the seven deacons. We looked at that. And he was going to be serving the Greek widows in the area. And he's described as a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. So full of faith and spirit. Cannot separate the two. We say this constantly. By we, I mean me. But it's worth repeating. Amen. No spirit means no faith. You can claim it. Lots of people claim it. But you do not have it without the Spirit. Amen. This is how Stephen is described here. So his foundation in his life is Jesus as his Savior and the Spirit of God moving within him. Our text today reveals to us that his claim of faith and the Spirit in his life playing out. The book of James and its writer would be proud, faith alone saves, but faith also produces in your life. Stephen here said to have faith, and then it says he's doing great wonders and signs among the people. Now, when we hear this, we immediately think miracles, right? Great wonders and signs. This is what it means. It's what it meant when it was said about Jesus. It's what it meant when it was said about Peter. It's not the only thing it means, though. Do not stop at the miracle only. If we stop at the miracle only, then we separate us from the teachings on this pages. We separate us from Stephen. We don't cast out demons, right? We're not raising people from the grave. We're not healing the sick, so they must be different than us. This is not the case. Our section today continues on in verse 10 by saying his wisdom and the spirit in which he speaks with was unmatchable. So it's not only in actions, but through his words, his preaching, his sharing of the gospel. We like to get hung up on the miracle, but we forget that the gospel itself is a miracle. It's the very word of God that changed the hearts of the people. Paul says in Romans that he is not ashamed of the gospel because it's the very power of salvation for those who believe. Amen. And we hold it in our hands. We hold it in our hands. Stephen here is a Greek that was converted to Judaism and then converted to Christianity. So from Greek to God's people to God's only Son. How did this man get here? The Holy Spirit. The grace and power, as the text says, that he is filled with. And the miracles being performed by him and the words being spoken by him all come from the Spirit of God. You need to hear this. Stephen is not better than you. This first Christian martyr, that's who he is on our pages, is not better than you. This is how we walk around. We walk around like we don't possess the skills or the talent or the knowledge. We walk around like this. We say we can't walk like him. We can't walk like Stephen. This is not the case. Our text does not say Stephen is full of his own strength. It does not say he reaches into himself. If it did, then he would be better than us. It says Spirit of God. It says power of God. It says he stands with the Son of God. And everyone in this place and online who claims salvation stands there too. If Stephen is not better than you, and he isn't. If Peter is not better than you, and he isn't. Then how do we get from where we are in our walks to where they were in theirs. It's easy. Let me tell you, lean in a little bit. Let's focus here. Here it is. Get out of your own way. Get out of the Spirit of God's way. You're holding God's truth and the greatest message anyone will ever hear in your hands and in your heads, and you just have to let it free. Believe in Jesus on that cross for you and His Spirit leading you. You may think, well, I don't know enough, and that's just not true. Everyone in here and online knows some Bible verses. You know some Bible. You know some Bible stories. You know what Christmas is about. You know what Easter is about. You know your own testimony. Never underestimate your own testimony, your story, where you were and where you are now. The only difference between you and Peter, or difference between you and Stephen, is not that you know less, but the fact that whatever they knew, whatever they saw, everyone around them was going to know and see too. That's the difference. They shared it. Jesus in their hearts and on their minds, and nothing could get in their way except for themselves. We saw this with Peter before, right? Before Acts, Peter in his own way, stumbling over his own feet. Then after Acts and his empowerment by the Holy Spirit, now Stephen, who's nowhere to be found in our Bibles until he's called to serve in this church, and he enters with the authority that only could come from God, and we're going to see him give his life for what he believes. He will give everything, and it's not because he's somehow better than you. That's not it. It's because he gets out of his own way. Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. Now, I went into a store the other day to look for some Christmas shirts from the girls. You got to have the Christmas shirts, right? It is the season. I walk up to the store. I've been in before, and I get to the door, and I can't get in. It won't open. I think, they've already closed, but I know I've been here at this time before. I know they do close, but they're not closed now. I push again, it doesn't budge, the lights are on, there's people inside, someone's coming out of the other door on the other side. Why can't I get in? The door says pull when I pushed. I pushed twice. No one inside that store was better than me or smarter than me. They might have been in that moment. They all got in and I didn't. I guess they were smarter than me. No one desired to be in more than me. They simply did not stand in their own way. The only thing keeping me out was me. It's the same in our text. It's the same in your life lived for Jesus. If faith, you always got to start there, faith in the Lord Jesus, then Spirit-filled, and if Spirit-filled, then no difference between you and Stephen. What have you put in between you and serving God? How have you stopped the gospel from coming from you? Can you imagine getting to judgment day and saying, I wanted to serve you, God, but the door would not open. And then God saying the door would not open because your foot was on the door. Do I have this gift from God? This gift of faith alone, in Christ alone, for my salvation. Do I have it? If yes, then we should all walk more like Jesus every day. What is stopping us is the question that needs answering. What stops you? Let's move on to see how Stephen here was treated. What's it say in our text today about how he was treated? Well, first, let's take a step back and get an overview of Stephen's life here, because we're going to compare it to Jesus. There's a ton of similarities in our text. Described as full of grace and power, so was Jesus. Doing great signs and wonders, so was Jesus. He outsmarts his opponents, and we're going to see this in a moment. They lie about him, they arrest him. He recites the Old Testament with power, and they kill him. He will also ask for their forgiveness. Do we remember this? Jesus on the cross, forgive them. They do not know what they do. Stephen here, don't hold this against them. All these things illuminate our first Christian martyr here and permanently connects him to our Savior's life and ministry and death. Do not miss it. These people coming against him did not miss it. Imagine their thought process as they witness history repeating itself. Every Jew in this area has heard of the trial of the man claiming to be God. Most of them were there. Most of them were at the cross. Now they have another man doing similar things while claiming that the first man was indeed God. Where are we on this list on our pages? Well, a group of men come up to Stephen and question his teaching. This is a very specific group here. Freed men would have been Jewish slaves that had their freedom now through indentured service. Maybe they had some debt. They couldn't afford something or whatever made them a slave. They are now free. Now on your handouts, you got a little bit of a different map this morning. It might be too small to read, but I put three boxes on there. The box kind of in the middle on the right, that's Israel. In our text, it mentions the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians. They would have been from North Africa, which is southwest of Jerusalem. That's your lower box. That's where the Cyrenians would have been from, the Alexandrians. Cilicia in Asia means from the north. So the furthest north box on your paper, that's the Cilicians, that's the Asia. They're from the north. If you know your geography, we're not talking just north. We're not talking Syria. We're talking further north like Turkey today. That's how far north. What this is telling us is that they would be from the group Stephen was serving. Remember this? He was serving the Hellenistic group, the Greek widows. He's serving the group that are Jews that are not from Jerusalem. That's who these people are. Cyrenians, Alexandrians, Cilicians. That's who these people are. So the group he's serving is the one bringing the actual dispute, though the dispute is not listed. We can take a pretty good guess at the dispute. Likely, it's just regarding Jesus as the Messiah because these men here are Jewish. They're not Christian converts. They're serving Jewish people. So they take offense to calling someone the Son of God. That's the dispute. These men bring questions, but our text says they run up against the wisdom of the Spirit of God. Can we just agree right now that no matter how smart you are, you would lose this discussion? Jeopardy world champion. Masters in everything you can get a master's in. School all your life. You would still come up short against the wisdom of God. Amen. You just would. This is where these men find themselves. You ever found yourself standing up against someone that knows everything, or at least thinks they know everything, and you want to find some way to stump them, but you can't? This is where our men are in our text. What do? They stir up the crowd and lie. Now that sounds familiar. It should sound familiar because it's exactly what they did to Jesus. And it should sound familiar because it's our world's go-to move, right? We see it all the time today. Politicians lie to get votes. Media outlets lie to stir up crowds and get ratings. We'll see front page biases and falsehoods. They correct them eventually, but the first page, front page headline news is all it takes to stir things up. I'm going to go ahead and fill you in on something here. If you're taking part in that, or you're sharing online posts from other people that are taking part in that, you're sharing them, then you're actually no better than the people on your pages that stir up crowds to get what they want. The people on our pages doing it actually killed Jesus. This is not the same hill you want to stand on. Let me be even more clear. If you're sharing some meme, we live in a meme world now, if you're online at all, just pictures with a little quote, and maybe it's a bullet list and all these points on it. If you're sharing some meme from a political arm, I don't care which party, far right, far left, whatever it is, it's stamped political, you're sharing it, then you've done exactly what they wanted you to do. Spread fear, spread lies, spread political nonsense. Most of the time, it's because there's one hint of one point right on top that you agree with. You're like, that's what I wanted to say, and I didn't know how to say it. Press in. That's why it's designed like that, so they can get their entire message out. If you have one hint of one point, why don't you just type that down yourself and press in? It doesn't have to be the whole thing. It helps no one. It divides everyone. It's the very thing on our pages that led to the death of Jesus and the martyrdom of Stephen, not the company you want to keep. So share the photos. Share the family photos, the cute animal pictures. If you need some cute animal pictures, we got a couple dogs down the road. I did mention both dogs, not just one, for the record. Share the gospel. Share Bible verses. Share your opinions. Go for it. Stay away from the wicked intentions. Stay away from the traveling memes that are just dividing the country. Stay away from the garbage. You can't say what I share was garbage. Well, if it was any of the nonsense we just discussed, then that's exactly what it was. What else happened to Stephen here? They actually get others to lie. Remember when Jesus was on trial, they tried to get others to lie, but failed. They could not get people on the same page. So they waited for Jesus to say something, and they used that. Here, they arrest Stephen and get people to say Stephen spoke against the temple. That was their holy place. So he spoke against the temple, he spoke against the law, and against Moses. Why these things? They are the most treasured among the Jewish community. The law of God, though added to by man, and the one who brought the law of God, and the place where God's Spirit dwells and its law is kept. They wanted to shut him up and get rid of him, so they reached as high as they could reach. This would be pushing the emotional button, right? Don't touch our traditions. Don't touch our way of life. If you do, I will take you out. That's what's going on here. There's many, many Bible verses that explain this for us. I picked out one that kind of encapsulates everything that's going on. Proverbs 6, verse 16. It says, it's three verses. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, a feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Three verses sum up everything happening in this context of the early church. This also applies to us today. Where do we see this in our world today? Where do we see it? Where does our world reach to win an argument? What same emotional button do they press? Attacking how we are, or where we worship, who we worship, attacking what we worship. The world worships self. We know this, and we worship Jesus. How does the world win an argument today? How do they cancel people today? They label them as racist. There are racist things in our world, but not everything. Not everything is racist. Or they label it one of the phobias, homophobic, transphobic. I think people are now called fatphobic. They say it's fear or it's hate as the reason you don't agree. It's not from a rational, logical conversation. It's not from digging into the wisdom provided for us by the Bible, by the Holy Spirit. Arguments aren't won by facts anymore. Discussions aren't led by facts or dialogue. They're led by tearing down the other person. Can we see this? 2,000 years ago and today, and nothing has changed. Amen. Actually, it might be okay to say it's gotten worse. During the Roman rule, which by most accounts is one of the most ruthless and cruel empires to ever be formed, during this reign, you could still have your own opinions. You could still have your own religions. Your own thoughts and ideas and belief systems did not make you evil. They took their enemies who broke the law, who stood up against them, and they drove stakes through them and raised them up for all to see. Don't do what he did. But opinions were not hate crimes. Raising facts and following the truth of Scripture did not make you evil. How are we so far away as a society to how we should treat one another? How did we get there? We stopped following God. We stopped following the shepherd. Remember when we talked about the shepherd? We're all sheep, just not of the same flock. Jesus is the good shepherd, and his sheep hear his voice and follow him. We looked at this. We also have to realize that though some do not have Jesus as their shepherd, everyone is being shepherded. Everyone. What do I mean? Well, Jeremiah 50 verse 6 says this, "My people have been lost. Their shepherds have led them astray, turning them away on the mountains. From mountain to hill they have gone. They have forgotten their fold." Everyone shepherded, but some shepherds will lead you astray. Who is your shepherd? Is it Jesus or is it your career ambitions? Is it Jesus or is it your favorite news outlets? Is it Jesus or is it your favorite politician? To be honest, these things are relatively easy to spot in your life. We could see these things, but sometimes we do not want to. You know if you cling too much to that TV, or to your overtime hours, or to that speaker that says everything you want to hear, the key being everything you want to hear. Sometimes it takes something happening for you to spot it, or a friend points it out, but we can see these things. There's a tougher aspect of this that the Bible addresses, Acts 20, verse 30. "From among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away disciples after them." So the sole purpose is to split and divide those among you. Matthew 7:15, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." This is scarier. "From among you, some will lead you astray. From among you, wolves who look like sheep." We see it with Stephen. Jewish leaders spreading lies to get what they want. Jewish leaders leaning into emotions to stop the gospel. People in the circles that Stephen was serving, it was their widows he was helping. These people thanking him while lying for the council who arrested him. Think about that. Where do we see this in the church today? People want the salvation Jesus offers, right? People want the love. They want heaven. They want love. Just don't give me anything else. They don't want the demands of being a disciple. Jesus offers salvation, but they won't want the following him. Traveling in church circles and saying things like does the Bible really say that? You don't really have to get up and worship tomorrow if you don't want to. I know it says it's a sin, but that doesn't mean the same thing today. Do what you want. You're saved already. These kinds of comments travel in and out of church circles, and they sound eerily similar to the serpent in the garden, right? And only have one intention in mind: to tear down, to destroy from within. To cast out the Bible and replace it with popular opinion. They may not even know that's the intention, but that's the only thing that could come from it, to replace the Savior you worship with the world. How do we stop this? Well, first, you must know what this book says. You must read the Bible. If you do not, then how you ever know if there's wolves among you? How will you ever know that what you just heard was wrong? You must be in God's Word, which means you also must be in this place. Many, many Christians around the world only read their Bibles when they're in church, so they're not reading it if they're never here. Read God's Word. Be in your church. Then you call out the wolves. You have to stand up. You have to step out. To be honest, most probably are not wolves. They're simply repeating a falsehood that they themselves have been led to believe. This is what we've been doing on Sunday nights, not repeating falsehoods, but on Sunday nights. We've been diving in together to see what God's Word really says. Have a conversation about it. Tonight's gambling. Come join us. All of this to say that you're either standing on truth, like Stephen in our passage, or you're standing with the world. Notice our last verse today. It says the council noticed Stephen's face. It was like the face of an angel. What is this? Was it somehow lit up? Possibly. We've seen this in other passages. Moses shone when he came off that mountain. We saw Jesus in his transfiguration, and they were glowing after they were up on that mountain. We've seen this. This is likely the council staring him down in anticipation. They want to hear what he's going to say in defense. They're staring him down, and our writer uses this as an opportunity to point out that Stephen's response will be from God. He will speak with the word of God. His appearance is noticed by them because it was of the Spirit inside of him. The Spirit inside of you reveals the difference of you and the world. The faith you live out in your life reveals the difference. Are we being shepherded by Jesus or by the world? Search your life. Everyone has a story. We're looking at Stephen's story. What does your story tell? As we close today, we can see that Stephen was falsely accused and arrested. He was living like Jesus, and then he was treated like Jesus. This was a promise from Jesus, right? All of those who follow me, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. He said it would happen. The Spirit of God in his life and the gospel on his lips has set him apart from the world. How close to this are we? We cannot lead a world to Jesus if we walk just like the world. He did not die for us so we could walk like the world. This includes our priorities. This includes our online presence. This includes our prayer life. This includes the study of God's Word. Our text today was full of lies and deceit, and it mirrors the world we live in today. We all need to take a step back and look at our lives. Are we standing with Jesus, or have we been drawn into the crowds? Which is it? One leads to the Good Shepherd and biblical truths and a biblical life and then eternity in heaven. That's one direction. The other leads to being shepherded by the world. Being shepherded by the world leads to hell. What does your life say about you? Pray for the strength to stand up for the gospel. Pray for the courage to reach out to others when they stray. People in your life will stray. You will stray. Pray for others to reach out to you. Pray for the self-control to simply not push share or sin. Sometimes that's hard. Maybe Jesus has never been your priority. He's never been in your life. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And His Spirit will work in your life today. We should all stand for Jesus. Every one of us, every Christian everywhere should stand for Jesus. What do you stand for? What is on your heart? Bring it as we sing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we have an example of a life lived out of Stephen. We thank you that we have this picture of the Spirit moving in a person's life and leading them down a path that says we'll do anything for you. Father, help us move to this place. Help us get to a place that we're standing for you at all costs. Help us get to a place that we know when we're straying because we're in your word always. Father, help us get to a place where we can leave this building and share the gospel fearlessly. Help us get to that place of courage. Father, we know everyone around us needs to hear about your Son, the only way. And Father, the only way they can hear about the only way is from us. Help us realize this as we leave here today. Change us and mold us into your image. Father, we thank you for this time together. Help us not to waste another day moving forward. In Jesus' name, amen.